Let's go to God in prayer. O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Allow your anointing to flow on the word and bless those that will hear. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13, from the New Revised Standard Version. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, and even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So today I am going to push us a little bit as we talk about touching hearts for God. And as we talk about this word love, some of the hardest people to love are those who don't look like us, those who are not in our groups, those who don't think like us, run in our circles, go to the places we go, participate in the things we participate in. This is the reality of the case, that it is sometimes very difficult just to connect and even to love those that are different from us. Sure, we all are guilty. We love others when it is good, and we love when we are on the same wavelength and when we are doing things that are going our way. But just as soon as something happens, we are quick. I mean, like in the matter of seconds, we can flip the switch and turn that love off. Then some of us even go a little bit further, and we try to make the person pay for the way they have treated us, or even the way we respond to them, or the way they communicate their side, or the way they represent the other person to another person. Our text sums it up in practical ways. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It's not conceited. Love does not act improperly. It is not selfish. Love is not easily provoked. It does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness. Rather, it rejoices in the truth. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never, ever, ever fails. Say that with me. Love never fails. So when we talk about touching hearts for God, the only way we can really do this effectively is to allow our motives to be infused by God's love, with God's love, working in us, through us, for us to touch others. Think about it. Loving and touching hearts is more about our relationship with God. It's more about how we honor God with our lives than how we reach out to others and how we try to touch others. Does our life, our lives, does it really honor God? I want you to think about how you show up, how I show up. In the world today, how do we show up with our unchurched friends or our family or our extended family members? How do we respond to those people who get on our last nerves? How do we communicate the love of God to those who are so unlovely? You know who they are. How do you and me, how do we as a church, as a community, how do we really touch hearts and make a difference in the lives of others? Are we so busy doing ministry activities, events that we miss touching hearts the way God intended for those who are so desperately in need to experience God's kind of love? To take it a step further, the only way we can truly love this way, as the text has so eloquently laid it out, is that we are fueled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what helps us in our weaknesses. Sadly, many of us try to do this on our own. We try to exercise self-will, and we just can't. We have to have the power of God working in us. If we're going to touch hearts for God, we have to get ourselves out of the way. We have to follow God's plan. We have to allow God's love to flow through us. We have to push past our comfort levels. We have to push past our ideas. We have to push past those things that worked in the past or those things that we feel so comfortable doing. That is why the text says, "When I was a child, I act like a child. I thought like a child. I responded like a child. But as an adult, I put those things away." There are many of us who are chronologically adults with childlike tendencies. You know it to be true. We all act that way in some form or the other. How many of you pout? Don't raise your hand. Uh-oh, some people raise your hand. How many of you use the silent treatment? Mm-hmm. How many of you rant and rave and cry, throw tantrums? You know you do. But I want us to challenge, to take this challenge and to move from those childlike tendencies and allow the Holy Spirit to live in us so that we can live Spirit-led lives, especially moving out into the world to bring others to Christ and within our own community and context to grow up spiritually so that we can directly make an impact on others. Our world is in a mess. There are people who are hurting. There are people who are living in desperate situations. There are people who are being affected by the ramifications of what is happening to us. And we are the church. We get an opportunity to show Christ to others. We get an opportunity to allow those that are hurting and sad and despondent and those who have lost hope to experience Christ. If you think of it, all of us have a church that we are responsible for, a group of those that are around us that we can directly impact in some way or the other. Do we use our words to build up or to tear down? Do we use our lives to bring hope in hopeless situations? Do we spend time to show the person that we really need them? Do we go into their situations and bring peace to them? I'm not saying this is easy, but I am saying it is possible. It is very possible. We don't want to be like the little girl who wrote a letter to God about her family. And in her letter, she said, "Dear God, I bet it is so very hard for you to love all everybody in this great, big, huge world. There are only 4 members in my family. I could never do it. I don't like 2 of them." So I submit to us, yes, we can. Yes, you can. Yes, I can. And how do we do this? The Spirit of the living God helps us. This is how we can truly touch hearts and make a difference in the lives of others. And then we can change lives. There are 7 points I want to highlight. The first, loving one another reflects Christ. Jesus says, "A new command I give you, to love one another as I have loved you." You must love one another. That's not a choice. You must love one another. It's in the text, John 13, 34, 35. "By this love, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." 2, loving one another completes the law. Let no debt remain except for the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law already. The commandments, you heard Nick when he talked about those commandments, the 10 commandments. But if you look through the Old Testament, there's a plethora of commandments that if we just love, take that one. It covers all of them. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. 3, loving one another is a result of salvation. If we are called by God, then this is a result. We love. Now that we have purified ourselves by obeying the truth, we have sincere love for our brothers and our sisters. We love one another deeply from the heart. Not that Christianese kind of stuff. "Oh, I love you with the love of the Lord. Oh, the love of God is in my heart. I just love you." No. Sincere, deeply, transparently, loving where it hurts, going beyond. 4, loving one another is an evidence of Christianity. You and I both know we don't necessarily have to come to church. There are so many little gods that are all over the place. All we have to do is just turn on the television and pick and choose which one we're going to serve. But if we want to reflect the evidence of Christianity in our lives, it says in 1 John 3:10, this is how they know that we are children of God if we love one another. A child of God loves, point blank, simply. 5, loving one another is a demanded commandment, and this is his command: to believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as God has commanded us. 6, loving one another is a response to God loving us. Think about the way God loves us. So forgiving, so filled with compassion. God cares for us. His mercies are new every single morning. God loves us. Let us love one another, for that love comes only from God. This is the love that we have, that God sent God's only Son for our atoning sacrifices for our sins. Since God so loved us, we too must love others. Love is more than a characteristic of God. God's is love, and it is God's character. And 7, Loving one another demonstrates God's existence. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and God's love is made complete in us. So see, touching hearts for others is more about God having our heart and we honoring God so that we can touch others. I close with this story. In a supermarket, there was a boy, a young man, Curtis, who was a stock boy, and he was busy working when he heard a new voice come over the intercom asking for a carryout at checkout register number 4. Curtis, who was almost finished, was on his way out to get some fresh air, and as he heard that, he decided to answer the call. And as he rounded the corner and approached the checkout stand, he saw a distant smile which caught his eye. The new checkout was a beautiful girl. She was an older woman, maybe 28 or 22. I'll take that. And in an instant, he fell in love. Later that day, as his shift was over, he waited by the punch clock and kind of meandered in the place, just looking and waiting, harmlessly trying to act busy. So when she walked in, he could see. So she came in and she smiled at him softly and she punched her card and then she left. And as soon as she punched her card, he looked at the card and it said, Brenda. Said to himself, Brenda, Brenda. So he walked out and he looked to see if she was going to her car in the parking lot. And he didn't see her in the parking lot, so he looked over and saw her just walking away. She walked on, and as she was walking, he kept saying, Brenda, Brenda. So the next day, he waited outside as she left the supermarket, and he offered her a ride home. He looked harmless to her, and she'd seen him in the store, so she accepted. And when he dropped her off, he asked maybe if he could see her again outside of work. She immediately said no. He asked her again, Brenda, is it possible, please? Can we just see each other? And again, she said no. So he's trying to figure this out, and she said, and he pressed and pressed, and so finally she explained, well, I have 2 children, and I really can't afford a babysitter. He immediately offered to pay for the babysitter. Reluctantly, she accepted his offer for the date for the following Saturday. Next Saturday, he came up. He arrived at her door only for her to tell him that she could no longer go on the date. The babysitter had canceled and she did not have another babysitter. Curtis was not going to let this opportunity go by, so he immediately offered for them to take the kids, and she said no, an emphatic no. So he pressed a little bit. He said, oh, come on, we can take the kids. She said no. He pressed and pressed and pressed. So finally she said, okay, come on in. So when he came in, he met Brenda's daughter, who was just as cute as can be. Brenda was still a little bit nervous, and she came out pushing her son in a wheelchair. He had been born as a paraplegic with Down syndrome. Brenda waited anxiously, wondering what Curtis would say. And Curtis said, oh, well, we're going to take everybody. We're still going out. Brenda was thinking most men would run away from a woman with 2 kids, especially one who had disabilities. So that evening, Curtis and Brenda loaded up the kids, and they went on out for their date. They went to dinner, and Curtis said, we still can go to the movies. And, of course, Brenda said, oh, no, we can't go to the movies. It's getting late. We have to get back in. You know, you've done enough. Because during dinner time, whenever her son needed something, Curtis would pick up her son out the wheelchair, take him to the restroom, help him take care of his business, come back, put him back down again. Brenda was watching all of this. And she reluctantly agreed to go ahead to the movies. They went to the movies, and throughout the movies, Curtis held her son, rubbed his head, stroked his back, and loved on her son. At the end of the night, Brenda knew that was going to be the man she would one day marry. And they did get married a year later, and Curtis adopted both of her children, and they added two more to their union. Curtis was very persistent, and he moved beyond his comfort zones, and he showed love. So what happened to the stop boy and the checkout girl? Some of you who are sports people, I am not at all. This person is Mr. Kurt Warner, who played for the St. Louis Rams, the New York Giants, the Arizona Cardinals. Some of y'all may know what that all means. But he was the most valuable player for the National Football League and this wonderful quarterback. You see, his heart touched Brenda's heart, Brenda's two children, and then this made headlines because it touched the team. And then it reached into the community. And now today, they serve as a beacon of light, this love, this unconditional love. So when I challenge us all to say that we really can touch hearts for God, yes, we can. How? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. There are four things that are extremely hard for us as humans to do because it causes us to be very transparent and vulnerable. It's very difficult, extremely difficult for us to, one, open our hearts and to love sincerely and to love genuinely. It's hard to say, I'm sorry when we're wrong. It's very difficult to admit that we sometimes are weak and we need, and to tell someone, I need you. I need you in my life for whatever the reason is. I need you. You're very valuable to me. Another one is to say how much we appreciate a person. Something small, something big. But how much we really appreciate who they are and who they are in our lives. And then lastly, I love you. And not that simple kind of love. That love that says, I love you. See, like that baby, I understand that. But to be able to say, oh, I love you so much. So today, we are in church, and you get an opportunity to practice. How in the world can we say we're going to touch the community if sometimes we can't even touch those that are sitting right next to us? And how can we serve in a place when there are times where we are at odds with others in our own community for whatever the reason may be?